I think we all pretty much have the same routine. I get up in the morning, I get my coffee, and then I get my Bible, and I read. When I'm done doing those sorts of things in the morning, I eat breakfast, I get cleaned up, get dressed, come down here to work, do the things I have to do as a preacher of the gospel. At the end of the day, I go home, do some things around the house, read the newspaper, eat dinner, do some more things around the house, and go to bed. The next day, guess what? I wake up again and get a cup of coffee, read the Bible again. Is your life like that? Do we not have routines? Do we not go through what seems like maybe sometimes an endless cycle of life? And why? Why do we do that? Well, don't tell me it's because we have to survive. Because there are plenty of people who take no personal responsibility and we take care of them. And as time goes on, there's more and more people like that we take care of. So we could all just stop doing what we're doing and somebody will take care of us. And here's the thing. I can work hard. And I can do everything that I believe I should do. And the next guy can do nothing. And when it's all over, we both die. And so we wonder, or could wonder, what advantage did I gain by living the way I did? Why did I work so hard? Why did I do all the things that I do? Why did I provide for my family? I just ended up dead, like the one who didn't do all those things for his family. You know, King Solomon wondered about the same things. A while back I preached through the book of Ecclesiastes, and let me just remind you again of some of the things that he said. In chapter 2 of that book, he said in his heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. Why then was I more wise? He says there's no more remembrance of both the wise and the fool. Now, there's a few exceptions. There's a few wise people over the centuries whose memory does not fade. We still talk about them today. There are a few wise people over the centuries that we still remember them. But the vast majority of us, whether a wise or a fool, you die and it's not too long afterwards that, you know, life just goes on and the memory of us just fades. And so Solomon said in the scripture that I have up on the text, Ecclesiastes 2, 15 through 17, as well as verse 23, that he says, I hated life because of that. I hated it because it seemed to be unfair. And things just didn't seem to work out right. And yet at the same time, he knew that there's something good. There's something good in life. Again, in that same chapter, verses 24 through 26, he said, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in all his labor. He said that God gives us wisdom and knowledge and joy. And then he ended it by saying, yet it's all vanity and grasping for the wind. So things don't seem right, and yet we know that it is right to do right. But then sometimes we wonder again, why? You see, I think all of us know inherently that we just seem to have a higher purpose than the animals. I hear people say, especially the evolutionists, that, you know, we're really nothing but animals. We're nothing more than animals. Well, if that's true, let me present this to you. Last night, my family and I had halibut and some beef that I barbecued. Does anybody have a problem with that? I didn't see a grimace on anyone's face. What if I had said, last night we had thigh of human. We ate a man's leg. Now, I saw some looks on that one. If I said that and you believe that that really happened, would you call the police or something? Well, why? Because we just know there's something different about us. There's something about us that is higher than the animals. And we sense that, but maybe we don't know what is going on. So I want to present to you four great questions of life that deal with us. The first question is this: who am I? And what am I doing here? I can just sense that there's something wonderful about humanity. Maybe even something wonderful about my life. And I might think at times, but I just can't figure out what it is. I think when people ask that question, who am I, or when they just wonder about it, they're touching upon something that Caden read a few moments ago from Genesis chapter 1. As Moses began reading or writing that part of the Bible for us, he said in verse 26 that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Now, maybe the average person cannot just articulate it like that, but I believe that they're touching upon that. There's something different about me. I'm not the same as my dog. And that's because we're not made in the same way as the dog or the giraffe or something else. We know that we have a connection. Again, it just seems like it's inherent with us that we know we have a connection with something, or rather someone, who is above and beyond this creation. Amen. Again, maybe we can't figure it all out on our own, but somehow we just sense it. I mean, again, we look at the animals and we look so much different from the animals. We act so much differently from the animals. We think. And if it can be said that animals think, they certainly are way behind us. I mean, for example, do you grow lettuce in your garden? I know lettuce is not an animal, but it's still of that kingdom that seems to be below us or different than us. If you do grow lettuce in your garden, have you ever gone out there into the garden and seen the lettuce putting their heads together to figure out, you know, who are we? They don't do that because they can't do that. Or how about turkeys? Have you ever seen turkeys get together and they've said, you know what, let's call Brother Tom Turkey to come and speak to us in a gobble meeting and explain to us who we are. They could care less, if they even care at all. But we do wonder those things. We have not been fashioned after animals, but we've been fashioned after our Creator. Now, it's true that we have some animalistic traits, and that's because we live in the same place they do. We have to breathe air, as the animals do. We have to eat food, as they do. And so we have some traits that are similar to them that enable us to live in this world. Secondly, where did I come from? As you know, there is a debate raging over this question. And it seems as though all of those in both camps agree that there's only two alternatives. I either came from divine creation or natural, accidental evolution. Even when someone will say, well, actually life was brought here from another planet, that doesn't solve the problem. For how did that life start on that other planet? It was either by divine creation or natural evolution. So it's one of those two alternatives. Let me talk first about evolution and some phenomena that I believe evolution or evolutionists cannot answer. And I only want to mention two. Although I believe that I could just list hundreds and hundreds of these and they would just literally overwhelm you. And I don't want to do that. But just consider these two, which are very big. Number one is that by which is known as irreducible complexity. Now, what does that mean? Well, before looking at life, let's just consider how we all got here. We all came here today probably in a vehicle of some sort. I drove my truck. Now, when I look at my truck, do I need the paint on there to get here? No. Let's strip the paint off. Do I need the canopy that's on the bed? No, I can make it without that. Let's take that off. Do I need the doors on it? No, I don't need the doors on it either. In fact, I don't even need the hood on it. I can take that off. Now I'm looking at the engine. Do I need the air cleaner, the air filter on it? No, I can take that off. It's a six-cylinder. And so I see six wires going to where the spark plugs are. What if I pull one of those out? Okay, it will probably run, but not very good. There's this thing over here called a battery. There's two cables coming off it. What if I take one of those off? Now all of a sudden, it won't start. The vehicle will not function unless I push start it. Okay, well, I didn't even think about that. Let's take the wheels off it. Drop the transmission. I see there comes a certain point where I can only reduce it so far, and now it won't function. Well, living beings are the same way. Do we need hair to function? Well, I'm finding out more and more that no, you don't need hair to function. You can get along okay without it. It's nice to have. Can you get along without a kidney? Sure. I function on one kidney. Can you get along without an arm? Yeah, you can cut an arm off. In fact, you can cut both of them off. You can cut your legs off, too, and still survive. It won't be a very good life. It'll be a difficult one. Let's take a lung out. Can we still survive? Yes. What if I take the other lung out? See, there's a certain point, even with living beings, they can only be reduced so far, and now we can't function. However, evolution says that we started out in a very simple way and have evolved into the complex organisms that we are now. But if that be true, the first living organism never would have made it. In order for it to have survived and reproduce and have another generation that would just keep on going on and on, it would have to have a fully functional digestive system. It'd have to have a circulatory system. It'd have to have a reproductive system, all from the very beginning. But evolution says it didn't happen that way. Secondly, evolution is an effect that's greater than its cause. In other words, you start out with something small and you get something big, bigger, and it doesn't work that way. In other words, the universe is a greater effect than the cause, which would be the Big Bang. Now you've got the universe and it's all in chaos. And eventually it organizes itself into order. But the order is a greater effect than the cause, which is the chaos. Okay, but still, now I have order, but it's just sterile rocks and dirt. But suddenly, it turns itself and makes into something that makes life. Life is a greater effect than the cause, the sterile rocks and dirt. And then that life, however simple it is, somehow turns into the multiplicity of life that we see on earth, which is an effect greater than the cause. And that's not the way things work. You have to have a bigger cause than the effect. By these two things alone, the argument of irreducible complexity and evolution being an effect greater than the cause just shows we're not here by evolution. So the alternative has to stand, which is creation. I like the way the psalmist said it in Psalm 100 in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And He is the cause who's greater than the effect, us. Third question. What is my purpose? If I am made in the image of God, and if I was created by God, doesn't it seem like then I must have some kind of purpose? I mean, why do I wake up in the morning? Why am I working so hard to fulfill some goals in my life? Maybe your goal is to retire, or maybe you want to own a home, or maybe you want to travel. Why? Why? What is it that I think my purpose is? Well, again, if we're made in the image of God, and God has made us, then our purpose is like the heavens. Again, another psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19, the first line of verse 1. And the New Testament says that whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, we should do to the glory of God. That is my purpose. And if my purpose is not being fulfilled in glorifying God, then I will never be totally who I need to be or want to be. Moreover, if we are here by divine creation, then should we not busy ourselves with finding our Creator? With having a relationship with Him? That ought to be really one of, if not the most important thing in life. In ancient Athens, there were a group of people who would sit around and contemplate these very questions that I am presenting to you today. And one of the apostles, official representatives of Jesus Christ, went into the city of Athens. His name was Paul. And he addressed these people. And he said that we should seek the Lord in hope that we can grope for Him and find Him, because He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As it is written in Acts chapter 17. And finally, the last question. Where am I going from here? Where am I going when this is over? You see, the first three questions lead up to this one. If I am made in the image of God, and God did in fact make me instead of me simply evolving, and if my purpose is to glorify God, it would seem like death is not the end. Well, Paul, who spoke in that last scripture that I just gave you, went on to answer that question for us to the very same people in the same speech he was giving. And he explained to them that God has commanded everyone, everywhere, to repent. Well, why is that, Paul? Because God has appointed a day in which there is going to be this thing called a judgment. We have to go to a place or to an event called the judgment. And Paul also said that the judgment will take place by the man whom he has ordained, and that man is Jesus Christ. In other words, one day all of us will come face to face with Jesus and have a conversation with him. And Paul said, we know this is true because God raised Jesus from the dead. Earlier, when we took the Lord's Supper, we remembered the death of Christ. But we do this on the first day of the week because it was on the first day of the week in which he rose from the dead. But he didn't stay on the earth forever. After just a short time, he went back up into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God himself, waiting for that day when we must all appear before him. There was a man a long time ago by the name of Job, who had all the things in life that we want, that we labor and strive for, but suddenly in one day, Satan took them all away from him. And then he wondered what life is all about. And he began to question and to wonder. He said in Job chapter 14, starting in verse 1, that man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. He said further, though, that, you know, if you cut down a tree, there's hope that it'll sprout up again. Man, have I learned that by living over here on this side of the mountains with cottonwoods. Can't believe it. You cut down those things, and it's like they're saying, well, I'll show you. And they come up all over the place. And it's amazing how they do that. But Job's implication was, do we have that same hope? Cut us down, is there hope that we'll come back up? He said in verse 10 of that chapter, man dies and is laid away, indeed he breathes his last, and where is he? Verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, we shall live again. We shall because there is a resurrection. Jesus was resurrected, but he's just the first of the whole world. For we shall all be resurrected. And what that means is our spirits, after we die, our spirits go into the hands of God. And then he reunites our spirits with our bodies, and then we're resurrected and taken up to meet him and his son. And we shall then all appear before the great judge for that event that I spoke about earlier. So now I want to think about, just for a moment here, the answers to the four great questions of life. Number one again, you are created in the image of God. Number two, you are here by divine creation. Number three, your purpose is to glorify your Creator. And number four, where you are going after all this is over is somewhat up to you. We know what God wants. God wants all of us to join Him in heaven forever. And He has gone to great lengths, to put it mildly, to make sure that that happens. But now, I'm really the one who makes the decision. I can decide to go to live with Him by becoming one of His children, spiritually speaking. Believing with all my heart that Jesus of Nazareth really was the Son of God who walked on the earth. And then going through what I suppose you might call initiation rite, and that is being baptized in water. And when we do that, and you come up out of the water, you are then a child of God. Now, if I choose not to do that, I've made another decision. I don't want to be with God. And at that judgment, He will cast us away from Him and we won't be with Him throughout eternity. And that other alternative is not a good one. I strongly advise that you do whatever you can to make sure that you choose the option of joining the Lord forever. So the question is then, what are you waiting for? When we sing this song here in just a moment, everyone's going to stand, and if you so desire, you can come forward, and I'll meet you and help you in telling you what you need to do. You can come forward now as we stand and sing.